This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. On Sunday, Las Vegas will officially be 100 years old. It may surprise you that the city actually has a history. It's better known for exploding the old to make way for the new. And Las Vegas doesn't seem like the kind of place to get misty-eyed over its past. Day to Day sent Madeline Brand to Vegas to find its history, and here's what she found.
Most cities have a well-worn story about how they began. Think Manhattan bought for $24, or Los Angeles starting off as a Spanish pueblo. And Vegas, well, you've got this.
This looks like a parking barrier. What would you even call this? It just looks like a block of cement.
It really is just a block of cement.
That's the historic marker commemorating the day in 1905 when 110 acres of land were auctioned off by the railroad and the city was born. Las Vegas historian Michael Green and I are standing in front of the marker. It's on a sidewalk in between a rundown casino and a scruffy McDonald's, a block away from the Greyhound bus station downtown. You really have to make an effort to A, find it, and B, actually read it. The type is so small.
This is the founding of Las Vegas right here. And I would wager, if I may, I'm in Las Vegas, that 9 out of 10 people have no idea what this is. And even after reading it, they would have no idea what this is.
I'd be willing to bet higher.
And Green adds, not only do they have no idea, they probably don't care. But at least one man does, Oscar Goodman, the mayor of Las Vegas.
I represent the history of Las Vegas.
Goodman is a mob lawyer turned politician. He represented gangster Meyer Lansky in the 1960s. Now he trots around the country with his own showgirl and Elvis impersonator. He knows how to put on a good show. Here he is on the phone with the mayor of Miami when we arrived to interview him.
I was the first politician to engage in a Playboy photo shoot. I have my own playmate. Two weeks ago, absolutely drop-dead gorgeous.
Goodman says he's the happiest mayor in the universe. And yes, he thinks it's important to honor the past, but the sexy past, the past that can entertain tourists and make the city some money. So to that end, he's pushing for a mob museum, or a mobzeum, as he calls it. In Las Vegas, history is entertainment, and entertainment is history.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
The most significant piece of history in Las Vegas is Elvis and Liberace, and even more so Liberace because he has his own museum.
Charles Phoenix is the author of Fabulous Las Vegas of the 50s. He's an expert on Vegas culture.
By the way, Las Vegas is culture with a K, as in kitsch. It is class with a K, as in kitsch.
And now we are going to one of those places. We're going to go to the Liberace Museum, which has all your K words in it, and then
yes,
some.
And including queen. It is. Elvis is the king of Las Vegas, and Liberace's the queen.
Queen with a K. Let's go.
Queen with a K, right.
On the way, we drive past some other significant culture with a K spots.
We're right in front of the Frontier Hotel, which is on the site of the original Frontier, which is one of the first resort casinos on the Strip, built in 1942. All the casinos were kind of that Western theme, and it wasn't until 1946 when Bugsy Siegel came along. He brought in that kind of Miami Beach glamorous, Hollywood glamorous motif in the Flamingo, which is another hotel from the early days, which still exists here on the Strip, yet bears, of course, there is no resemblance to the early days.
We pass the casinos of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Pirates, tigers, and mini-cities, each more outrageous than the last. And so when we drive off the Strip and find the Liberace Museum in a rundown mini-mall, it's a bit underwhelming.
It's just too much. Wow.
Once inside, Liberace comes alive, at least on video.
I am not the greatest pianist in the world. There certainly are greater virtuosos than I.
Never say goodbye.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places.
Liberace was the first megastar in Vegas. When he opened at the Riviera Hotel in 1955, he was the highest paid performer, earning $50,000 a week. Until his death in 1987, he was Vegas's top draw. Legions of fans came to see him in his jewel-encrusted outfits. The most flamboyant cost $750,000.
That costume has 40,000 Swarovski crystals, 2.5 carats each.
Christine Phillips is one of the tour guides at the museum. They are all elderly women who adore Liberace without a trace of irony.
And this costume used to be very ice blue. It's faded a lot. And we call this BC. That was before capes. We have 3 costumes that are BC. Now he has a big cape that is very heavy, but it's being cleaned. But this was actually made before the capes.
Do you think Las Vegas is remembering him properly?
Oh, there's not enough, no. They're too much into the stars today. And most people, young people, don't know who he was. Liberace, they say. But you know, one day, about a year ago, we got a young guy who was a black hip-hop kid. He came in this museum because he thought it was a casino. And we took him by the hand and made him see the museum, and he loved it. He loved it. So he said, go tell your friends so your generation can know who it is, too.
The Queen of Bling. The King, though, is alive and well. Downtown at the decidedly unglitzy Plaza Hotel, Elvis performs 4 days a week.
I've been performing as Elvis about 8 years full time, maybe 9, and originally I started about 12 years ago.
That's Johnny Thompson. He's dyed his blonde hair black and wears mascara and a white jumpsuit called the Aloha from Hawaii jumpsuit. That's the Elvis with the sideburns, big sunglasses, the past his prime Elvis.
Well, originally when I came to the Plaza, they were talking about putting me in the showroom, and since then they've had changed the plans, so I'm still hoping to go in there one day, but if not, this is the lounge. This lounge here at the Omaha Lounge, right? I mean, this is the first time I've ever played a lounge. I mean, I've really headlined in concerts, and I've played NFL games where, you know, there's 100,000 people, and this is the first time I've done something like this.
Can you give us a little sample?
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Is it good?
That was Elvis.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Downtown may still love the King, but the Strip has moved on. The $2.7 billion Wynn Hotel has just opened. Oh, and it's also a casino, but that seems like an afterthought. Last year in Vegas, tourists spent more money on shows, food, and shopping than on gambling. So when you enter the Wynn, the first thing you see is upscale boutiques, Chanel, Christian Dior, and Jean-Paul Gaultier.
The theme of the Wynn is luxury. That's the new buzzword in Las Vegas, is luxury. Theme is like 90s, you know, it's like, we're not going to say themed environment anymore. Luxurious environment. It's, you know, we're richer, we're bitcher.
And Charles Phoenix, expert on all things Vegas with a V, takes one look at the imported hydroponic forest in front of the Wynn and pronounces the one takeaway image is this.
Palm trees are out, pine trees are in. Wait, am I right or wrong? Look
You're
over
so
there.
Right.
Do you see that?
It's all pine
It's pine trees. Pine trees, how fresh!
In other words, Vegas is remaining true to its past in one enduring way. It is still decadent. Happy birthday, Las Vegas. Madeline Brand, NPR News.
Looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
That report produced by Shireen Meraji for pictures of Madeline's adventures in Vegas. Shireen took them. Visit our website, npr.org.